the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear Christian friends and fellow redeemed, the portion of God's word we're going to study tonight comes from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 4 through 11. This is what takes place immediately after what we read before. As Judas, Jesus' betrayer, comes to meet him in the Garden of Gethsemane along with an armed mob of soldiers, Jesus responds. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they said. Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" The word of the Lord. Why did Peter do that? Why did he cut off that guy's ear? It's not all that surprising that he did it. If you are among Bible readers, you know that Peter develops a reputation of act before you think disciple. When other disciples are keeping their minds to themselves, Peter speaks up on behalf of them all. When other disciples are a little freaked out by a storm around them, Peter tries walking on water. When other disciples aren't ready to speak up, Peter is bold. He will do the thing, whether it's smart or not. It's not that surprising that he did it, but why did Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant Malchus? It's probably kind of a natural reaction. Maybe it was just because Peter loved Jesus and Jesus was in trouble. And so Peter did what anyone would do when someone they love is in trouble. He reached out and he tried to help. Maybe Peter wanted to spare Jesus the suffering and the arrest. That would make sense because earlier, about 6 months before this happened, Jesus told Peter, "I'm going to go get arrested." And Peter said, "Never. Lord, this should never happen to you." Jesus had to rebuke him. Jesus had to come and say, "Peter, you are a stumbling block to me. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but just human affairs." And so maybe when Peter swung the sword, it was because he wanted to spare Jesus the suffering. But maybe it was something else. Maybe Peter wanted to prove that he was the best disciple, that he was the most loving of all Jesus' friends, that he was number one. That would make sense because that's what Peter said just before this as they were sitting in that upper room. You heard it in Mark. And Jesus said, "You're all going to fall away on account of me." And Jesus said, "Never." Peter said, "Never. I would never fall away, Jesus, even if everyone else does." And then he added, emphatically, he added, "Even if I have to die, I'll never disown you." So maybe Peter wanted to prove that he was the number one disciple, most loving of all. But what quickly becomes clear is no matter what Peter wanted, it wasn't what Jesus wanted. Because Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission to go to the cross. And I read, when I was researching some of this stuff, some of these passages this week, I read some folks who were arguing that Peter, they said, his heart was in the right place. which is a curious little expression. Your heart is in the right place. It would seem to imply that Peter was on the right track. He wanted the right goal. He just went about it the wrong way. Maybe don't use a sword, Peter. Or maybe you're a little overeager. You're a little overzealous, Peter. But you're on the right track. And I think that is just the opposite of what Jesus taught us. It seems that Jesus was on a mission to go to the cross. He said that. I'm going to go get arrested and be betrayed into the hands of sinner. And Peter, his heart was somewhere else. He said, never. Jesus wanted to warn them, hey, you're going to be tempted to fall away from me. And Peter said, never. It seems to me that Peter's heart was in exactly the opposite place from Jesus's, and that he wanted exactly the opposite of what Jesus wanted. We can be pretty sure of that because Jesus told us exactly what he wanted to do. Jesus told us that the Son of Man came into this world to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came into this world to be handed over. The Son of Man came into this world to give his life up as a ransom for many. And Peter's response was no. No, God. But at the very time that Peter was contradicting Jesus was fulfilling his word. When Peter said no, Jesus said yes. Jesus had made a promise. He said, I'm not going to lose any of the disciples that God has given me. And this is what it says. Jesus went to them and said, if you're looking for me, he said to this angry mob, then let these men go. He said it to make good on his promise. He said, take me instead of them. Take me in their place, just like he has said to God our Father that he would take our place. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom. It's not that Jesus really loved that idea either, though. He did not love the idea of suffering and dying on a cross. He made that clear in the garden. We read it from Mark. When he prayed, Jesus was overwhelmed that day, so sad he could die. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. So sad he could die. He collapses, nose in the dirt. And he tugs on the heart of his Father. And he tugs with a word picture from an Old Testament poem. You see, in the Old Testament poetry, he says, let this cup be taken away. In Old Testament poems, God's cup is full of his justice. And when human beings do the terrible things that human beings do, God pours the punishment into a cup. He pours his hatred for sinners into a cup. He fills it up with his wrath, and it's foaming and fizzing and rancid. And if anyone would drink this cup, and God threatens to make people drink this cup, if anyone would drink it, they'd fall over from how bad the pain is. They'd stumble around, losing their mind. If anyone would have to drink this cup, it would be the worst thing that ever happened to them. And God threatens to force this cup on people, but that night in Gethsemane, he handed it to his son Jesus and said, this is your cup now. And Jesus did not love that. He did not want to do that. That's why he prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. When Jesus wanted something that God did not want, he said, I'm going to do what my Father wants. I'm going to do what you want, Father. And so Jesus, he used all his zeal. He used all his passion. He used all his energy to do what God his Father wanted. He orchestrated his own arrest. While Peter's zeal was ignoring God's will, while Peter's emotions were misguided, Jesus' zeal was all about doing the will of his Father. And so if you read this again closely, you'll find all the ways that Jesus is in total control, that Jesus is using his almighty power to make sure he gets arrested, that crowd came out with torches in case they needed to find Jesus in the bushes, but they didn't need to look too hard because he came to them and he said, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "Well, I'm he." You'll notice that they didn't overpower him. He overpowered them. As Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he." And they all fall over like bowling pins. He didn't get overpowered. He overpowered them. And he was using his almighty power to make sure that he ended up arrested. He ended up on trial and make sure that he ended up on a cross, just like his father wanted. And so when Peter raises a sword to try to stop that plan, what did Jesus say? "Peter, put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup that my father has given me?" Death and the curse were in that cup. "O Christ, 'twas full for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark dregs. 'Tis empty, Lord, for me." That is why Jesus went to that cross, out of love for you and love for me. He was so filled with passion, with zeal, perfectly in line with God's will, so that you and I would never taste the cup of God's wrath, so that you and I would be delivered from the punishment that our sins have earned. He told Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, "I'm going to go on trial. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go die for the sins of the world. You watch. You watch me save the world. And you watch yourself. Because when you desperately want to do something that God has not planned for you, it is easy to do something stupid. So Peter, you watch and you pray and I'll save." That is what our Father has done for us. That is what Jesus has done. He took the cup. As Peter was raising a hand above his head with a sword, flagrantly saying no to God, Jesus extended his hands, had them tied up by a soldier, and took the cup from his father. "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll suffer what you command me. My will conforms to your decree. I'll do what you have asked me." That same Father has given to you a cup. It is your life with all the things that you have not chosen, and your cup does not contain his wrath because you have not been chosen to pay for the sins of the world. Thank God. But if you look over the edge of your cup and you take a look at all the things God has given you, you'll find a mix. Perhaps he's made you a father or a mother with all the responsibilities that come with it. Or perhaps he hasn't, with all the heartache that comes with that. Perhaps he's made you an employee or a student with all the frustrations that go along with it. Or perhaps he's left you jobless with all the terror that comes with that. God has mixed into your life certain blessings and certain talents, and he's left others out. God has mixed into your cup certain burdens and certain challenges, certain neighbors who need you when you don't want to serve them, and many of the things that God has put in your cup, things you never would have chosen, many of those things are bitter. And they are hard to say yes to when everything in you wants to say no. But God has put this ultimate sweetener in your life. It ends in eternal glory. It ends in heaven, and not all lives do, but yours does. And so this Father who loves you enough to give up his firstborn for you, he slid across the table to you, a cup that is your life, and he said, "This is what I have given you." And you and I could spend a lifetime raising our fists at God and saying, "No, not this." You and I could spend all our zeal, all our ambition, all our energy peering into the cup of another person and saying, "I wish I had that blessing," or "I wish I had that burden." You and I could spend our whole life doing what Peter did in that garden and hearing God's will for us, his simple, clear instructions, "Love your neighbor as yourself," and we could say, "No." But it will also take all your zeal and all your passion and all your energy to say yes, to the life that God has gifted you. We can learn to drink our cup from Jesus. That is the proof that this is a cup full of love. It is a cup that includes the saving message of what Jesus has done for you by drinking the cup of God's wrath. Your life is a life empty of God's hatred because Jesus has drunk it down. And that's what Peter learned from. Because after he was done shaking his fist at God, Peter watched. He watched Jesus go to the cross. And he watched as Jesus came back to life on Easter Sunday. And he watched as Jesus took him aside after Easter and he gave him new, simple, clear instructions saying, Peter, I need you to do something. Feed my sheep and take care of my lambs. And inspired by the grace of Jesus, Peter did it. He used all his passion, all his energy, all his zeal, perfectly in line with God's will. And he served as the leader of God's church. And as legend has it, when it came time for Peter to drink the most bitter part of his cup, he did not raise a sword. He did not start a rebellion. He walked to his own cross, singing hymns of joy and praise all the way. Because Jesus had aligned all his passion with his Father's. As you and I struggle with what we want versus what God has asked of us, let's never forget the love God has shown us in Jesus. Let's never forget how he gently, with his grace, aligns our will with his. Shall we not drink the cup that our Father has given us? Yes, Lord, yes, most willingly. I'll do what you've asked me. Amen.
Thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.